You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
And this morning we are joined by Dr. Ian Hislop, who is an academic with the social work program at Auckland University, and he has been looking at child protection within New Zealand. Good morning to you, Ian. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
I kind of wanted to begin by asking you, what is the state of child protection systems in New Zealand at the moment?
Okay, well, we've just in the last 2 or 3 years really undergone a major process of review, and a lot of that is around refocusing on the needs of children in care, and also, disturbingly I think, a focus on the early removal and long-term placement of children, often in out-of-family situations. That's the direction that the government has signalled for child protection.
And why is that disturbing? Can you explain to us like what happens when you remove a child from their family?
Well, significant trauma and dislocation and disruption occurs. In the history of rescue mentality, foster care tells us that there's a lot of damage done by that kind of approach historically. So the idea of keeping kids and families where possible by providing resources and counselling and interventions that maintain family integrity, even in situations where there is abuse and neglect, is, I think, a better and more effective way to go, and really has been the policy direction in this country up until the last few years.
Why have they decided to change?
Well, social work, child protection, it's meshed with politics, with ideology, and in this country with poverty. So the clients of child protection systems in the Western world, and particularly in New Zealand, are often people who come from the bottom of the social and economic heap. And child protection developments are under the social investment umbrella, the social investment policy umbrella, which takes an insurance approach to poor people,
right,
particularly people on benefits, and looks at the future liability that such people generate.
Right. Okay. I didn't know that at all.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So it's a very kind of deficit approach that says that people can be individually costed.
Yeah.
The future welfare liability that people create for the state can be measured by the use of big data, by taking data from child protection, from justice, from education, from health, from those kinds of systems, and these people can be fixed. And if they can't be fixed, their children can be removed into safe, stable and loving homes.
Wow.
This is Bill English's vision for social services in this country.
So what do you think needs to be done, and what do you think is a better approach?
Well, I think the problem of poverty is fundamental to issues of child care and child neglect. So things like poor housing, poor education, overcrowded living environments, poor health, all these things contribute to child protection concerns and to child health in a whole variety of ways. And it's about, as one of my students once very succinctly told me, poverty is caused by lack of money. I thought that was a very, very insightful statement.
I mean, these are all fundamentals, you know, education.
They are fundamental.
And
yeah.
Is the government just not providing that?
Well, it's about the distribution. I've got my boat and my you got your boat and your BMW. Why
yeah.
should child poverty worry you?
Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty of money in this country, but there's 150,000 kids who are living in poverty. There's and that poverty is caused by adult poverty, inadequate benefits, low wages, casualised inadequate employment, lack of money.
Do you think that they should be looking at the long-term well-being of families as well?
Yeah, they should. And it's about the distribution of opportunity and the distribution of resources. So under this kind of globalising neoliberal regime that we've had for the last 30 years, both our major political parties have looked at work as the way out of poverty. Any kind of work will do. And the idea about the redistribution of wealth in a way that's equitable, with the goal of equality rather than individual freedom or some illusion of meritocracy, needs to be re-examined. And I think some of the weird things that have happened in politics, like the election of the bizarre and megalomaniacal Donald Trump, and the whole Brexit thing, they're about people being seeing through the whole kind of globalizing capital agenda. It breeds inequality, it breeds problems, and you can't just fix people because it's like mowing the lawn and expecting the grass not to grow. Our economic system produces poverty and inequality, which creates child neglect.
So what are you specifically looking at within child protection?
Well, I'm doing a bit of research with a woman called Emily Cadell from Dunedin University about decision making and child protection, about the kinds of environments that create good quality decision making. And I've got another project I'm getting underway, hopefully, interviewing people on the receiving end of child and family social work, as opposed to listening to the voices of politicians and social workers, actually talking to people about what works for them, what services they need, how you develop trust with bureaucrats and those kinds of things. So getting insights from people on the receiving end, I think, is always a good idea.
Do you have any ideas of what you think that they might say or what their response might be?
Well, I think people need to be understood. You know, it's about respect, it's about trust, it's about social workers who understand their lived realities, that form relationships with them as opposed to just assess them as sites of risk from a distance. So it's about communication, it's about understanding, about forming relationships and about supporting people to make changes.
I think that's a thing that's been lost a lot, is just that formation of relationships between people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it's about science and it's about management. And it's about measuring and predicting risk. That's the anxiety of the state when it comes to child abuse and neglect. But on the ground, social work's about compassion, understanding, forming relationships. And that's not about being naive. Some kids live in really dangerous situations and need to be removed. Mm. But it's a small minority.
Yeah.
And also there's an incredibly racialized discourse in child protection in New Zealand. This idea of dangerous young Māori parents, which is a popular myth that it sort of buys into all the prejudices of middle New Zealand, if you like.
Yeah, definitely. What are the difficulties of working in an area where there are so many factors that interact, for example, with poverty, inequality, and the statutory child protection system?
Yeah, child protection, social work's difficult work, and you know, apart from playing academics and reading about it and thinking about it, I did it for 20 years. I was a social worker in South Auckland and West Auckland from the mid-80s through to 2004. So, you know, I know what the work's like and I've got an idea what's needed to do it well. So as well as the big picture stuff, which is about the redistribution of wealth and opportunity in this incredibly unequal society that we live in, the practice stuff's important as well, which is about meeting people on their own terms, understanding their circumstances, listening to them, but also being very careful about the welfare of children in dangerous situations. So it's a craft, you know. It's demanding practice, but it's good work.
Well, thank you so much, Ian Hislop, for coming in this morning and joining us and talking about so many things that I was so unaware of. It's really informative.
Thanks for the opportunity. I really enjoyed it. And I'll come back again if you give me the opportunity.
Definitely.
Okay,
thank you.
Have a great day.
Yeah,
see
you too. Thank you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.